Amen. Well, let's grab our Bibles. We've got a few minutes. See if I can finish up this lesson, all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 10 is where we're at. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And we started last week, as you remember, the last half of chapter 10, all the proverbs that help to direct the unbeliever to come to a knowledge of who God is, and then as well to direct our steps. Remember, the just shall live by faith. And the same principles and truths that would draw an unbeliever, to Christ, to God, those same principles and truths should be lived out in our own life as well, as believers, as we go forward from our point of salvation and onward. So you saw last week on the front side of our notes, we covered this already, but the verses 12 to 15, be careful to whom you listen and whom you follow. Let's read just verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. This probably is the description of Solomon about himself as he's dealing with that unbelieving emissary. All right? The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. Remember that fitting description. A fool's philosophy brings destruction. The world does not have the answers to life. Only God does. And he's given it to us in his word. So that really is the theme here as we walk through. Now we come down to verse number, and you can flip over on the back side. And if you need those notes filled in on the front side, see me afterwards, all right? I will be happy to give you those notes as well. But down to verse 16, the illustration somewhat changes, not dealing so much with the fool and his bitter end and the wastefulness of his thinking. But now we come to, in a sense, the other side of the coin, but still, it still is vain, and you better pay attention so that you don't make a fool of your life is the idea. So my overall theme here, as you can see on the top of the second page, be careful for what, there's your blank, be careful for what you live, all right? What's the purpose of your living? What are you living for, all right? Be careful for what you live and how you live. So these proverbs, again, Solomon using them to woo an unbeliever to Jehovah God, are the same principles that will apply in our life as we live out. We need to be careful for what I live and how I live, all right? Let's look at the passage then, starting in verse number 16. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season at the right time, for strength, and not for drunkenness. Okay, what are the principles that Solomon is trying to draw the unbeliever to pay attention to? Well, as we look in our notes, to live for the party is childish. Woe to a land whose king king for is the party. All that he gets. Remember Nehemiah, as he was describing what had gone on before he got to Jerusalem and helped build the wall, and he was the leader there in the city. And he said the leaders that had been there before, they heavily taxed the people so that they could have wonderful feasts. And then he lists out, remember he lists out in the chapter what all he required each day to take care of the administration of the city of Jerusalem there. And in many ways, he was describing it because it was minimal. It was what they needed for strength, not for partying. The warning to the unbeliever is very clear. Yes, you can live for the party here, but that's really childish. You're not paying attention to the future. You know, my little Drew and Dory, they live for the moment. And that's okay for a child. But it's really exciting as a parent when you see them starting to make connection to the reality. Wait a second, what I do now has consequences. Or there's something of value to wait for in the future. I'm willing to store up whatever it may be for that. All right, for the unbeliever, better prepare for eternity. It's coming. You can party now, but you'll be sad later. So then the second part of verse 17, the second note here, to take responsibility for your life is actually noble. It's good when the king of a land is noble, has character is the idea. He does what's right because he knows his responsibilities. And that the leaders underneath him, in fact, eat in due season, not for partying, but to have strength to do the work that they are tasked with, all right, given task to do, not for drunkenness. Unbeliever, be responsible for your life. There's a coming judgment. Better be prepared for it. Believer, take responsibility for your life. There's a coming judgment. You better be prepared for it. Make sense? So just shall live by faith. And so Solomon warning the unbeliever here, it's good to live and think through wise and good character things because we need to plan for the future. Be responsible for your life. Don't be irresponsible. All right, and then verse 18. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Again, at first blush, these verses don't seem to have any connection, and yet they actually do. It goes again back, what are you living for? How are you living? Those are important things. So to be lazy about life brings ruin. Now the application is really clear, isn't it? All right. There have been several times at least, and over my years of ministry and just for serving the Lord, sharing the gospel, you have someone that you share the gospel with regularly, and you come to a point where they know the truth. They know that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that they're a sinner, that they must turn from their sin, come to Christ in order to have eternal life. And they don't do anything about it. They're lazy. I can take care of it sometime. The spiritual things, you Christians, that's good for you. I'm okay. And they play with fire, essentially. And it brings ruin. Just like not taking care of a house, it falls in. Do you know what would happen to this building here if we stopped occupying it? In short order, believe me, because I know what the roof's like. Anyways, in short order, no, don't, okay, now Dee Dee's concerned. No, we've done the repairs, we're keeping it up, all right? That's it. And the shingles are still good for a while, but it wouldn't take long, and this place would fall apart. Isn't that amazing? Second law of thermodynamics works every time. It'll come apart. All right? How much more so with our responsibility spiritually before God? If you don't know the Lord, come to Christ now. Be responsible. Believer, don't be lazy in your Christian walk. It will bring ruin. The house will fall in. And again, the testimonies I could share with you of believers who've walked away and rebelled against God. And there came a point where God was done. It's, at least from the human plane, that's what it looked like. Or their life was a wreck. And there's no turning back all those scars. Very important. Let us not be lazy in our biblical responsibilities to follow and obey the Lord. Verse 19. A feast is made for laughter. Wine maketh merry. Money answereth all things. All right, this again, what? Well, here's verse 19. To enrich yourself in this life is only a temporary show. Now, all of a sudden, it seems to come together. Verse 16, verse 18, culminating in verse 19. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's live it up now. To enrich yourself in this life is really only a temporary, and it's only a show. It's only a mask. Don't believe the commercials. You know, sin is not ultimately pleasurable. It's destructive. All right? And so that's, Solomon is seeming to be very pointed here. Here's the cry of the sinner. Well, you know, I want to enjoy life. Go for the gusto now. Be careful. It's just temporary. And then what? So finally, really what it appears in this illustration, and by the way, now we're going to see how really verses 12 through 20 all tie back together again to come up with these two principles. The word here at the end of verse 20, you'll see it in it's actually the last word, the word matter, is the exact same Hebrew word as the word words in verse 12. It's really important that we pay attention to reality and that our mind and heart are going to do what's right. So verse 20, curse not the king, no, not in thy thoughts, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Now, we're using Solomon using an illustration from the lesser to the greater. Have you ever experienced it? You got a secret. And you just tell one person. And then 2 weeks later, somebody else and somebody else and somebody else knows it. And you go back to that person, the only person you told, and you said, "Did you?" I didn't. How did so-and-so-and-so-and-so know? A bird of the air told them. There is something about communication that just happens, all right? Whether we blame it on others or not, here's the reality. Now, that's life, all right? Sometimes it's like, "You read my mind, didn't you?" Have you ever, yeah, the same thing. The thought, "You read my mind." Well, okay, now here's the bigger reality, the greater reality that Solomon wants his listener to listen to. And I'll give you the notes now, all right? The secrets of your life philosophy are known to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who knows my thoughts? God does. And that he's telling that unbeliever that Solomon's story, he says, I may not be able to totally figure out, but there's somebody who knows your every thought. It's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just like how it seems to happen on earth, you know, you have some bad thoughts about the king, and the king finds out about it, and you're in trouble. How much greater when you rebel against the God of the universe, don't accept his way of salvation. It's trouble. All right, so the secrets of your life philosophy are known to the King of Kings. So the thought really is, and this is the final warning of the chapter, all the way from verse 12 here to verse 20. Remember, we saw a fool, all right, the front of the side, be careful to whom you listen and whom you follow. All right, be careful. Be careful for what you live and how you live. Why? Because if you ignore the King of Kings, you ignore him at your risk. That's the warning of verse 20. God is the one that gave us life. God is the one that offers us salvation. If we ignore the God of the universe, the one who made us, the one who's offering redemption to us, we risk our eternity. May God help us to communicate that to the world, all right, so that they know. And here's Solomon's very serious warning. This man's heard it all that he's talked to. We've walked through all the philosophies of life, all the way through your book, Ecclesiastes. Now let me warn you, my friend, he says. You ignore the truth of the King of Kings. You ignore it at your own risk. Your life, your eternal life, is in danger. So don't curse the king. Submit to him, in fact. Follow him. Believer, let that be the principle of your life as well. Don't curse your king. Submit to him. Follow him. He knows your thoughts already anyways. He might as well enjoy the walk with you through your brain and have a pleasant communication with you instead of having a rebel on his hands that he has to deal with, all right? Remember, the Lord knows, all right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time in your word this evening. Again, challenging Proverbs, but it seems so well put together by Solomon, and we rejoice in that. Lord, help us as we would share the gospel with an unbeliever who may be lazy about it or just wants to live for the party here, who just is not concerned. May we, in a right and wise way, as Solomon did here in the book of Ecclesiastes, give good warning that would arrest their attention and draw them to their Savior. May we as believers not live for the party here. May we take deep responsibility for our life before you, knowing that you see it all. You know our very thoughts. May our conversation with our Lord Jesus Christ be pleasant to him. Help us, Lord. Lord, give us a good rest of the week. We thank you for your truth. In your name we pray.